Genesis 37, you got it? Amen. Anybody got anything else they want to share this morning? Don't get ready to go. It ain't time to go yet. I still got another hour and a half. There's been a lot going on. You know, we talk about this and hopefully we can move on from it. But our people right now haven't moved on from it, right? We've got trees down and power poles down and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, with the church, we had the damage that we had. And then, of course, Friday night, we experienced the Noah's flood. Would have been a great Sunday school illustration, but it wasn't great for the building. And, you know, in all of those things, and I don't know how it is in your life, but in all of those things, I never got that feeling that I see other people and hear other people say, you know, what next? Like, oh, it just keeps coming. And, you know, I just deal with things as they come. I don't experience that emotional, oh, my, oh, me. I don't do that. But I got to think about somebody in the Bible that went through a lot, and that's Joseph. And, you know, in Genesis 37 and verse number 2, we see Joseph as a 17-year-old. And he's got a lot of brothers. In fact, in verse number 2, he tattles on his brothers. How many of y'all ever had a sibling that tattled on you? How many of you were the tattler? So we got a few of each side here. And so Joseph tattled on his brothers, and guess what? That made them mad because he tattled on them. Well, of course it did. But there's also, in the next verse, it talks about how, in verse number 3, Israel loved Joseph more than everyone else. So Jacob, Israel, had a favorite. His brother, or Joseph, his son, was the favorite. And he wasn't just the favorite, but Jacob actually gave him a coat of many colors, if you recall, a kind of a flamboyant, colorful display of, hey, look, I'm the favorite. And he could wear that, and it just kept grinding on his brothers, and it increased the animosity, increased the tension. They didn't like him. They were out keeping the sheep. And Jacob says to Joseph, I want you to go to your brothers, and I want you to check on them. And they saw him coming, and they said, they conspired among themselves. They said, here comes that little twit. Let's get him. Right? Let's kill them. Let's kill them. They're going to kill their own brother. It shows the kind of hate that they've got. It shows that it's been boiling up in them and boiling over. If you have in your heart, in your mind, to kill somebody, it's time to get yourself in check. Don't let anybody have that much control over your emotions. Move on, move away. It doesn't matter if you have to move 300 or 400 miles away. Get out of that situation. We're not stuck. I know that sometimes we feel stuck. You're not stuck. There's a place that you can go. And if you need help, if you'll reach out, we'll get you where you need to go. We don't want you to feel stuck. But they felt like they were stuck under Joseph. Joseph comes along and... prior to this, and he told him a dream he had. He said, hey, I had a dream. I had a dream, and basically it's like this, y'all were bowing down to me. Oh, that really helped the situation, didn't it? Not just that, he told the dream to his dad, and his dad says, you mean that I was bowing down to you too? Like, you really have this in your mind. And so, this animosity group, look, Jacob still loved his son. Jacob didn't get offended by that dream. It was a dream. But his brothers got angry about it. And they decide they're going to kill him. Reuben is the only one that stood up. Reuben said, let's not kill him. Let's throw him in a pit and leave him there. And they said, okay, that's a good idea. So they didn't kill him. They threw him in a pit. And then the Bible says there were some Ishmaelite tradesmen that came along. And Judah says, hey, I got an idea. Instead of just letting them rot in the pit, let's sell them. We can get some money out of this. We can get 20 pieces of silver if we sell them as a slave. So they sold them to the merchantmen as they travel down going to Egypt. And Joseph becomes a slave. And the brothers get some money. Reuben comes back to get him out of the pit. He's not there. He says, guys, what happened to Joseph? And they go, oh my, here's his coat. They rubbed some goat blood on it and said, I guess something got him. They took it back to their father. Here's this coat. There's no doubt whose coat it is. It's got blood on it. They show it to Jacob, and Jacob says, a beast got my son. And he's heartbroken, and he's beside himself. He's just completely crushed. And do you think that made any of those boys look at their dad and say, oh, come on, Dad, it was a prank, and we'll go find him. Give him a refund and get him back. They watched their father grieve, and they were so selfish that they wouldn't confess the truth and save their brother and save their father from grief. Guys, that's just how selfish we can get when we're wrapped up in our anger. You know, we talk about addiction, but you know, we can be addicted to behaviors. It becomes part of the pattern of our lives, the lies and the anger and the hatred and the meanness. People get that way and they just won't change. These boys wouldn't change. They remained that way. They stayed that way. No matter what it hurt, how it hurt their dad, they stayed that way. Well, what did Joseph do to deserve that? Nothing, right? But something bad happened to him. He didn't earn it. He didn't deserve it. He didn't put himself in that situation. But it happened to him. Guys, stuff happens to us when we didn't earn it. Bad things happen to us. That doesn't mean that God's mad. You think God was mad at Joseph and that's why he got him in the pit? Got him into slavery? He gets to Egypt. He goes to be the head servant at Potiphar's house, the captain of the army. Right? This is the secretary of defense for Egypt. And he's serving in the house. And Potiphar's wife got to eyeing him. He's young, good looking. And so she had come along and flutter her eyelashes, right? And she would find her way to be around him as much as possible until one day she finally decided to pounce, right? And Joseph said, whoa, not going to do that. She says, you got to do that. I'm the boss. He said, I'm not going to do it. So he goes to run away, and what does she do? She reaches out and she grabs his coat. He runs right out. He just puts his arms back and runs right out of it, lets her keep it. But then she has the evidence, and she takes it to her husband and says, your servant that you have so much confidence in tried to attack me today, tried to assault me today, caught me when I was in the bedroom unexpected. And if I hadn't screamed, I would have been abused. And so what happens? Well, what would you do if that was your wife saying that? Joseph gets thrown in prison. What did he do to deserve that? Did he earn that? Like, is this something that God said, I'm going to punish Joseph and throw him in? No. But bad things happen to people sometimes. And that's what we have to remember. Even when we're doing everything we can, everything right, Joseph was loyal to his family. He was loyal to Potiphar. He was loyal to God. He had faith. And yet, even as he walked in faith, stuff happened. I have a little note that when I started preparing this message, the title was The Unluckiest Man Alive. He didn't earn it, but stuff just kept happening. He ends up in prison. What happened in prison? And you say, well, you know, he was a good guy and he became the head of the prison as far as inmates go. And they had a couple of baker and the butler had dreams and he interpreted the dreams and it was all good. Okay, now we're where I wanted to go. He said, hey, when you get before the king, remember me. Tell him I'm a good guy. Tell him I have connections with God. And 2 years later, Joseph was still sitting in prison with no help. Why? Because God was trying to get even with him? Because God was trying to punish? No, none of that. Sometimes things happen. But let me say this. Through all of that, God was building Joseph's character. through all of that, God was preparing Joseph for something fantastic. God was preparing Joseph for something he had no idea he would do. His family had no idea he would do. The Pharaoh had no idea Joseph would do it. But Joseph was being prepared with resilience, with tenacity, with wisdom. And that day came, and Joseph was the one who saved not only the nation, not only the region, but his family. The stuff he went through was not to punish him. The stuff he went through was not because he was a sinner. The stuff he went through was God preparing him for a great ministry, for a great work, for a great revival. Preparing him to lead. Preparing him to save his family. I'm thankful that Humble House is with us today sharing their stories. But as they were sitting there talking, I thought, wouldn't it be great if each one of those ladies was able to take that same testimony and go out there and help all these. Look, I wish we didn't need it. I wish we didn't need foster homes. I wish we didn't need drug rehab. I wish we didn't need, you know, all of these, the halfway houses. I wish we didn't need prisons and hospitals. But the reality is we need them. And they're making a difference. But what if they take their stories and use it for something? And what if you take your story and use it for something? Instead of just going through all of these struggles, why don't we allow them to build us into something? See, the truth is we hide a lot of our secrets, don't we? We hide a lot of our stories. I ask for testimonies, and some of you have got testimonies that would help other people. You've been through it, but you don't talk about it. And I think you're the one that said, or it might have been you, things that there were still some things I wasn't giving to God. There were still some things I wasn't surrendering. There are some things that we've got buried deep that we're not telling anybody about. And until we get the thorn out of the flesh, it's not going to heal. We've got to let those things surface. You don't have to tell everybody about it. But you need to tell God about it. You need to recognize, acknowledge there is a problem. Would you stand? Maybe here this morning you say, well, Pastor, I'm ready to give my life to God. I'm ready for God to do His work in my life. This is your opportunity. Right now where you stand, you don't have to come forward. You don't need me to talk to you. I'll be glad to if that's what you want. But where you stand, you can call out from your heart to God's heart and say, God, I need you. I know Jesus died for my sins and rose again. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to you. I give all of my life to you. This is your opportunity. Maybe you're already saved, but you've not buried your past in the waters of baptism. You've not surrendered your life to God in that way, to live for God, to work for God. But now is your opportunity. Maybe you've got a burden or a need, something beyond that, and you want prayer. I'll be glad to pray with you. But I'm telling you this, God is listening, and He's listening for you. Talk to Him this morning. Let Him know your heart. Surrender your heart to Him. God, use this time we have together for your glory. Accomplish your purpose. In Jesus' name. The altar's open. If you want to come and kneel and pray, you want me to pray with you, or pray where you are, but talk to God. Talk to Him. This is your opportunity. You're struggling. Stuff happens to us even when we're trying to do what's right. Doesn't mean God is mad. Doesn't mean you deserve it. But let's take those struggles and turn them into a blessing. To be a blessing to others, to glorify God. Because there are other people going through the stuff you've been through. You could help them. You could show them the way out. You could show them that there is recovery in Jesus. There's hope in Jesus. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Amen. Some of the ladies want to come stand at the table. I'm going to ask Brother Andy if you will dismiss us, please.